Good morning. Welcome back, everyone, from the Thanksgiving break. Hope everybody had a wonderful holiday. I'll officially call to order the Marin County Transit District Board of Directors meeting for Monday, December 1st. Before we proceed with a roll call, I'd like to make it clear for the record, and it should be also in the minutes, that Director Moulton Peters will participate in today's meeting remotely under the Just Cause Clause of AB 2449. Once Director Moulton Peters joins the meeting, I'll ask her to let us know if anyone over the age of 18 is in the room with her per the requirements of AB 2449. And with that, we will proceed with a roll call.
Thank you. I will now call roll. President Lucan, Vice President Sackett, Second Vice President Cazisa, Director Colbert.
Here.
Director Moulton Peters. Director Radoni, Director Bushy,
present.
Director Yorans Gulati,
present.
Thank you. We have a quorum.
All right. And with that, we'll jump right into open time for public expression. We do have a 2-minute time limit. For those that are joining remotely, you can use the raised hand feature and we'll call on you when the time comes. Is there anybody that would like to provide public comment here in the room?
President Lucan, first, I will review how the public can participate in the meeting, if that's all right with you.
Sure.
Thank you. At today's meeting, in-person comments will be heard before virtual comments. If you are joining us on Zoom and you would like to comment, please use the raise hand icon located on your screen. If you're participating by phone call, please press *9 to raise your hand. When it is your turn to speak, your name will be called and you'll be prompted to unmute your device. You'll then have 2 minutes to speak. I would also like to note we received written comments on agenda item 9 from a member of the public via email. The comments have been shared with the board and will be included in the public record of this meeting. I will now hand the meeting back to President Lucan.
Great. And I don't think we have any public comment here in the room. Is there any online?
I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hand on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
I'll look to my colleagues to see if there's any board of directors matters this morning. Also not seeing any, we'll jump right into our general manager's report. Welcome, Nancy.
Good morning, President Lucan and members of the board. Kate, if you can pull up the PowerPoint for us. I have a brief report here. Next slide, please. Kicking off here on November 19th, we were notified that we were awarded a $5.64 million FTA discretionary grant for renovating our bus facility at 600 Rush Landing. And for replacing some smaller shuttle buses with full-size buses. We plan to expand and modernize the break room and bathrooms there. We're going to add an elevator to the second floor. Our plans call for that, and replacing the HVAC system. So really, we just want to overall modernize the 1980s office building and the parking lot for transit operations. This upgrade will complement our proposed operations and maintenance facility at 1075 East Francisco that we're planning for. And with our growing ridership, we've determined that that some of our buses don't carry the passenger loads we're experiencing. And this grant will help replace 3 of our smaller shuttle buses with larger standard size transit buses. So this grant will be matched with $1.5 million in local funds for a total project budget of $7.1 million. And about half of these funds will be for the improvements at Rush Landing and about half for the vehicle purchase. So we're very excited to get that award. Next slide, okay. Also wanted to acknowledge that our bilingual staff, we are very proud of the fact that 8 of our 21 staff members are fluent in Spanish. All of our Spanish speakers assist in a variety of ways as we need to communicate with riders and the public. They help address customer service questions. They issues that can be addressed over the phone. They help with that. And in person, people come into our office or at our events. They help with the translation of written materials as well. And they are often with us in the outreach events that we have in the community. And so we have the 8 name tags you can see here. We have a photo, but a number of the folks are here. If I can ask them to stand so you can see who they are, and I'll try to make sure I name everybody. So we have Karina Sawin, we have Grisel Martinez, we have Alma Osorio, we have Sandra Romero over there, Ceci Morales, and we have Raimundo Vidaurri Jr. here as well with us today. And then there are a few others that weren't here. But just wanted to acknowledge the fact that I think the most important thing for us is that these folks are not all in outreach. Raimundo is only our only full-time outreach person. The rest of them are in finance or capital projects or administration. So we're very happy to have them help us out in different ways. So thanks. Next slide, Katie. And then lastly, and you may have read about this in the newspaper, Next Generation Clipper is finally here. It was called Clipper 2.0 before, calling it Next Gen now. It's going to roll out this month with several phases happening over the next few months. The Clipper update provides some important changes specific to Marin Transit and other benefits across the region. So for all of the 24 operators who use the Clipper system. First, for our riders, they will no longer need to tap off when getting off our buses in local service. On the current system, you need to tap on and off to avoid being charged the full Golden Gate Transit zone fare, base fare of up to $10. So what we saw is that instead of getting charged the $1.85, some of our riders are being charged $10. So, of course, that makes it so that people don't really want to use the system that much. So this is a big change for us, really big change. So we're also, secondly, we'll be able to load, our passengers will be able to load a 31-day pass onto the Clipper card instead of purchasing a paper pass every month. So they can do that. And then some of the other things for Marin Transit and the other Bay Area Transit agencies using Clipper, contactless payment will become available. So you'll be able to use a credit card, a debit card, or a wallet, mobile wallet to tap and ride. And Clipper users will get a $2.85 transfer credit when they transfer from one bus, ferry, or train onto another agency's public transit system. So they'll get that credit now, and that's higher than what we get here in Marin today. Additional features and more detail on the timeline for rollout will be provided in future board meetings, and you'll hear more about outreach around the Next Gen Clipper in a presentation on today's board agenda. So next slide, Kate. So turn to our monthly report. Our fixed route ridership was about 303,000 passengers in September, and it's a little bit above where we were in August. We've exceeded the prior year for each of the first 3 months of this year. And just again to reorient you on this slide, the gray line is last year and the red line is this year. So next slide. And then on our demand response, we had some moderate growth this year. It's still slightly lower than the previous year, but we were holding close to where we were last year. So that's it for the monthly monitoring report, and you're going to hear more about our ridership and other service parameters later in your agenda today. And that concludes my report. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Nancy. Any questions? Director Rodoni.
Thank you, Chair. Nancy, could you talk a little bit about your Novato project, in particular about purchasing hybrid buses versus electric up there, the analysis that you might have done?
Yes. So this grant was a discretionary grant from FTA, and there was the opportunity to replace buses or do other bus facility improvements. We, as you heard, looked at both parts of that grant availability. And in terms of replacing the buses, the existing shuttles are gas powered. I believe, are they gas? Yeah, they're gas powered. Yeah, they're gas powered. And so we're replacing them with hybrids. The grant, instead of, if you're asking about electric, you know, why we didn't go electric. One is that the electric was not as preferred by in the criteria for selection. That was the main reason that we did that. It also makes it very consistent with the rest of our fleet right now to go with hybrids.
Any other questions? Not seeing any. We'll go to a public comment. Is there any public comment here? Don't see any in the room. Any online, Kate?
I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
All right, we'll move on to our consent calendar. Also call for public comment on that. Don't see any here.
I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
Would somebody move the consent calendar?
I'll move consent. Second.
So that's moved by Director Colbert, seconded by Director Casissa. Do we have Director Moulton Peters join us yet? Okay. We can just do a voice vote. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That passes. Item number six, Marin Transit Annual Comprehensive Financial Report.
Yes, we have Karina Salman, our finance manager here, to present our annual audit report.
Good morning. Good morning, President Lucan and members of the board. Karina Sawin, accounting manager at Marin Transit. Item six in your packet today is the fiscal year 2025 annual comprehensive financial report. I would first like to take a moment to thank the Marin Transit Finance Department for another smooth audit this year and all the great work that they've done throughout the year to ensure that that was the result this year again. Typically, the annual comprehensive financial report is made up of four component units, the introductory section, the financial section, the statistical section, and the federal single audit. This year, because of a delay in the release of a guidance by the Office of Management and Budget, we will not be including, or it's not included in your report, the federal single audit. This is to ensure that we are still able to submit our ACFR, the Annual Comprehensive Financial Report, to the Government Finance Officers Association in their award program. We will be bringing the federal single audit to your board probably in early 2026. So our hope is that the ACFR meets the needs of our riders and your board as it does present our financials in a transparent way. This is the third year that Mays and Associates has completed the audit for Marin Transit's financial statements. Our principal auditor, David Albee, did present to your board's audit ad hoc committee meeting on November 10th, where we're happy to say that Mays and Associates presented another clean or unmodified report this year, which means that they found no material deficiencies or weaknesses. So you will be hearing a more comprehensive overview of the fiscal year 25 finances, but some big takeaways to note from the report is Marin Transit ended the fiscal year in a strong financial position with a fully funded reserve and with a net position of $107 million. There was a 36% increase in capital assets, and that is mainly due to the purchase of the Francisco Boulevard property, but also the purchase of seven hybrid vehicles and improvements made to our other facilities. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much. I'll look to my colleagues. Not seeing any questions here, which means a great job all around. We'll quickly see, is there any public comment on this?
I see no one in the room, and I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
Okay, we'll bring it back to the board if there's any comments and or action.
I'd be happy to move acceptance of the report. And just as a member of the audit committee, appreciated meeting with Mays and Associates and hearing further detail, and glad we're in a great spot.
Yeah, just second Director Sackett's comments. Thanks for all the hard work, and as always, for a clean audit.
All right. So we have a motion by Vice President Sackett, a second by Director Colbert. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Passes unanimously. Thank you so much. We'll move right along to item number seven, Canal Neighborhood Community Engagement Efforts.
Yes, on this item, Joanna Hewitt, our program and policy manager, will be doing a little brief presentation. It's an information item.
Thanks. Good morning, President Lucan and Board of Directors, Joanna Hewitt, program and policy manager. Item seven in your packet is an update about our community engagement efforts in the Canal neighborhood in San Rafael. Local bus service in the Canal neighborhood generates roughly 34% of Marin Transit's fixed route ridership. Given that a third of our ridership is generated in this area, engaging the community here is of particular importance and helps us better understand how to improve service in the interest of our riders. Next slide. As described in Marin Transit's public participation plan, our team takes an expansive approach to community engagement. Our goal is to engage with a wide range of riders, community members, and other stakeholders, and to amplify the voices that have been underrepresented in the decision-making process. We attempt to take advantage of opportunities to engage the community on a variety of topics at once to avoid outreach fatigue and strive to keep community members in the loop about how their feedback has informed our work. Next slide. Over the past couple of years, staff has increased community engagement efforts with residents of the Canal neighborhood and the Canal Alliance to strengthen our connection with the community and increase our effectiveness at serving the core of our ridership base. As noted on this slide, our team meets regularly with Canal Alliance staff at all levels to collaborate, share feedback, and understand the needs of Canal residents. We've also formalized this relationship through a contract to support our engagement activities. We've participated in three Nuestro Canal, Nuestro Futuro community fairs and had the opportunity to meet and talk with residents, as well as learn about the other agencies and organizations serving the Canal community. We host monthly satellite hours in the Canal Alliance location at 91 Larkspur to meet community members where they are and educate them on our programs and services. Finally, we recently held a Facebook Live event in collaboration with Canal Alliance staff to get feedback on proposed service changes. All of these efforts are proving fruitful and are helping us to build trust in the community. Next slide. In early 2026, we will be collaborating with the Canal Alliance team to develop and offer a community capacity building project. This project will include a cohort of Canal residents that will participate in a 6 to 8 week training led by Ricardo Huerta Nino. The purpose is to strengthen community understanding of Marin Transit, allow us to understand the needs and concerns of riders and community members, and identify a cohort of leaders that can serve as transit ambassadors in the future. Participants will be compensated for their participation. This is a proven model that will allow us to receive high quality feedback on key topics. The planned modules are shown on the slide here and will cover everything from service planning to fares. One of the pieces we're most excited about is the opportunity to hear back from the cohort on what they've learned, and we expect to hear their reflections as part of the last module. Next slide, please. So as I mentioned, the Canal Alliance, or the capacity building project, is designed to identify leaders who can serve as transit ambassadors in the future. The slide here shows some potential outcomes. Members of the cohort could support Facebook Live sessions to share information about Marin Transit and opportunities for engagement with the community. These community leaders could support or serve as an extension of staff and host information tables at community events to share information about key learnings from the curriculum. Members of the cohort could make public service announcements in partnership with local nonprofit partners to raise awareness of and interest about Marin Transit and our projects. Finally, the cohort could present their feedback and what they've learned to Marin Transit staff or to you as our board of directors. As part of thinking through the longer term options for this cohort, staff will develop a payment structure that allows participants to be compensated for their time and effort. Ultimately, this project will help inform our ongoing engagement efforts. Next slide. So next, I'll turn your attention to what's in store for the first half of 2026. This slide shows key topics for community engagement that are in the works, and I'll touch on each of those in the next few slides. Next slide. So as Nancy mentioned, later this month and into the spring, Next Generation Clipper will launch. This brings a variety of improvements to fare payment via Clipper. These improvements will roll out in phases, and our team is taking a measured approach to educating riders. First, focusing on existing Clipper users, and then broadening our focus to encourage all riders to consider shifting to Clipper, as it brings a wide range of benefits and options for discounted fares. Our marketing and rider education efforts will start in early January and continue throughout the spring. By summer 2026, we plan to remove existing GFI fare boxes and to fully transition to a Clipper-first fare collection environment. Next slide. In early 2026, we will begin an education campaign on forthcoming mascot service changes in partnership with Golden Gate Transit. We also anticipate soliciting more in-depth feedback from community members in the Canal neighborhood to help inform the potential for additional future service changes to routes operating in and serving the Canal. We will also solicit feedback from the community to inform our bus stop guidelines project, including potential upgrades to bus stops in the Canal. One thing we continue to hear from the community is that adequate lighting around bus stops is critical to ensuring a sense of safety using our service. We will be addressing this as part of the bus stop guidelines project. Finally, we are all excited about opportunities to explore options for enhancement and beautification opportunities at bus stops, including opportunities to incorporate public art. Many members of our team recently attended the CTA conference in Long Beach and participated in a walking tour showcasing how Long Beach Transit has incorporated art into their facilities and stops. And I think we all left feeling inspired and excited about what we could bring here to Marin County. Next slide. Finally, we will continue to engage the community as we move the proposed facility project forward. Paul will give you a more detailed update on this project shortly, but we do expect to launch the design phase of this project in the first quarter of 2026. We will be soliciting input on this project as it progresses and anticipate collecting feedback on the aesthetics of the building, opportunities for incorporating public art and or gateway elements, improvements that can be made to the streets on the perimeter of the site, and options for ancillary uses like EV charging, car share, or food trucks. We will also continue to engage the community on off-site elements, including workforce development and childcare. Next slide. Finally, this slide shows the highlights of our next steps to touch on a few. This month, we will continue prep for the capacity building project and the launch of Next Generation Clipper. In early 2026, we will onboard a design consultant for the proposed facility at 1075 Francisco. And starting in the spring, we will educate riders on upcoming service changes and fare payment changes. Next slide. I would just like to note that since July, our team has had the opportunity to engage with residents of the Canal and residents across the county on a regular basis, whether at an event we hosted or one we attended. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank all of our riders, community members, and community partners that have attended one of our events, presentations, focus groups, or shared their feedback. The input we receive from the community enables us to learn about their needs and improve our ability to offer high-quality, accessible transit for all. And that concludes my presentation. Happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you so much. I'll look to my colleagues here. We'll start with Director Yorenz Galati.
Yes, thank you so much. Great presentation and great program. Thank you. I just have a suggestion where you're talking in the attachment A when you're talking about the marketing and education campaign that maybe you can also include this as part of the training because they really know the community and they can help develop that marketing and campaign. They go door to door. They are all over the community. So it's a great group. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Director Casisa.
Yeah, for the capacity building project, do you know how many people you're expecting in a cohort? And is that project, is that going to be ongoing?
We are expecting 12 to 15 participants. And that project will be ongoing for about 6 to 8 weeks. Whether it's ongoing in the future is still something we're considering.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Director Rodoni.
Yeah, I just want to thank you for this outreach. I've been to a couple of these opportunities, and it's really wonderful to see the engagement out there. I just wanted to just remind you, though, that there's a lot of people in the perimeter of the canal and up the Lincoln Corridor that use our services, too. So figuring out how to reach out to them and invite them into the canal for that conversation might be a challenge, but I think it'd be important to do. So thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Director Bushy.
Building on your earlier response, I noticed that your schedule had the canal outreach program ending. Is the possibility being considered to make this a permanent part of your outreach plan, given the concentration in the canal and in its perimeter, as Director Rodoni pointed out?
Yeah, we certainly can plan to continue outreach and engagement in the canal for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I think I would just add that, you know, one of the issues with the training program, the capacity building is, again, trying to incorporate that into the future plans that we have and how we can use that that capacity building to continue that sort of outreach. So we'll, as soon as we kind of get through that program, we'll understand better how we can leverage that into the future. But yeah.
So this is a foundation for future endeavors. Fantastic.
Yeah. Great.
Vice President Sackett.
Joanna, thank you very much for this. It to me, it feels like a very comprehensive approach, not sort of a drop in, let us tell you what we want you to know and then leave. And I really appreciate kind of it touching over a lot of period of time and very deeply. One of the things that stood out for me that you said was that you're working with folks at Canal Alliance at all staff levels, which I think is so important to make sure that, you know, every touch has an opportunity to share information about transit. So I really appreciate that. Regarding the transit ambassadors, I wonder if, you know, whether a piece of paper or something, but some kind of certification at the end of it from our board to say that you've completed this, and maybe we create new Marin Transit bilingual staff for the future by, you know, just starting that pipeline, I think could be a great opportunity. But I think this, you know, also with everybody in the audience who is bilingual, I think really just shows kind of the depth of the work. So thank you.
Thank you. Great. Dr. Colbert.
Oh, yeah, no, I just want to say thanks. And, you know, as we know, Marin Transit is, you know, in the process of creating a larger footprint in that community. It's just really important that we, you know, try and reach out in as many different ways. And it certainly seems that you're doing that. And I would encourage you to keep the board updated, perhaps on consent, with the initiatives and efforts that you're making out in the community. Thanks.
I'm looking around. I think I don't see any others. We'll see. Is there any public comment on this? I don't see any in the room, any online.
I will give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
All right. And this was just a discussion item. Look to the team here. You've got everything you need?
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
We'll conclude item number 7 and move on to item number 8, fixed route maintenance facility CEQA report, opportunity for comment and project update.
Yes. Paul Haefeli, our facility development project manager, will do this presentation. Come on up, Paul. I think this is Paul's first time to present, so I just want to make sure that y'all remember who Paul is. So this is an information item, and Paul's going to address the CEQA report that's been circulated and a little bit about the outreach.
Okay, you got it.
So yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, President Lucan, Board of Directors. As Nancy said, my name is Paul Haefeli, Facility Development Project Manager. I'll be presenting on item 8 in your packet, the bus operations and maintenance facility project update, an opportunity for CEQA comment. This is for information and discussion only. There's no action needed. Next slide, please. So the topics we'll be going over in this presentation, just touch on those: environmental process and overview for the project, an update on CEQA notification, some detail on technical studies and key findings, an update on community engagement and outreach, and then upcoming project procurements and milestones. Next slide, please. So environmental process and overview for any capital project when it is initiated, an evaluation of potential environmental impacts is required. This is at both the state and federal level in California. At the state level, the California Environmental Quality Act is the governing statute, of which Marin Transit is the lead agency. At the federal level, the National Environmental Policy Act is the governing statute, of which the Federal Transit Administration, or FTA, is the lead agency. The first step is developing an initial study to evaluate the environmental impacts of the project scope, and this includes supporting technical studies in key areas as identified by the environmental team. Once that is completed, the findings in the study are presented in a draft report made available to the public, and the anticipated determination is presented. This occurs under one of four categories: either a categorical exclusion, a negative declaration, a mitigated negative declaration, or MND, or an environmental impact report. For our proposed project, we anticipate a mitigated negative declaration in which either there is no impact, a less than significant impact, or a less than significant impact with mitigation measures required. A mitigation monitoring and reporting program, or MMRP, is also required for implementation under this determination. Next slide, please. Quick update on CEQA notification. As you're aware, notification of availability of the environmental report went out on November 3rd, in which public review began. This is ending tomorrow, December 2nd, with today's board meeting being another opportunity for public comment. The ways in which we notified are shown on the screen, one being the Marin IJ that was both in digital and print format. The Marin IJ also did an update article on November 11th. We also sent out postcards to neighbors and email notification to stakeholders and interested parties. That went out to over 400 points of contact. We also posted signage on site, which you can see if you drive by the site today. And that all directed back to our website in which the report was posted along with the technical studies. And there is a comment form available on the project webpage in English and in Spanish. Next slide, please. So this shows the technical studies are included in the report as mentioned in key findings. That was going over five categories, that being air quality, cultural resources, tribal resources, noise and vibration, geology and soils, and traffic, as well as the key findings and mitigation measures. Mitigation measures are shown on the right-hand side of this table. I will be going over those in more detail in the following slides. Four of these categories require mitigation as shown. Traffic does not require mitigation due to finding of less than significant impact in that category. Next slide, please. So the first category being air quality, this requires one mitigation measure to be implemented during construction, no ongoing mitigation after construction is complete. This includes dust and control measures in line with Bay Area Air District guidelines, such as covering loads during off-haul from the site for dust control, as well as equipment certification to Tier 4 EPA standards for exhaust control. Next slide, please. The next category, noise and vibration, requires three mitigations during construction. No ongoing mitigations after construction is complete. This is to protect a sensitive sound receptor adjacent to the site near the southern border of the property. For noise mitigation, the mitigation measure is for temporary barriers, either plywood, sound curtains, those types of implementation to protect and minimize noise impact on the sensitive receptor. For vibration control, NOI-2 or NOI-3, for either prohibition of heavy equipment within a specified distance or providing written notice within 60 days to the sensitive receptor, which is an existing recording studio, and coordinating with that sensitive receptor is required. Next slide, please. For cultural and tribal resources, the three mitigation measures that are required during construction were developed in extensive coordination with the tribe that requested consultation on this project, that being the Federated Indians of Grayton Rancheria. We've concluded that consultation for implementation of these measures. The first two cultural resources that are shown here are for unanticipated discoveries on site. If that were to occur, we would implement these measures. For the first one, prehistoric and historic resources, if discoveries were to occur, we would contact a qualified archaeologist who would then coordinate with the contact with the Federated Indians of Grayton Rancheria and coordinate next steps. For the second cultural resource mitigation, if unanticipated human remains are discovered, we would halt localized construction activity, contact the county coroner who would do an origin determination If they are of Native American origin, they would then contact the most likely descendant for next steps. For tribal culture resource, that's for ground disturbing activity during the initial movement of the existing surcharged soil for that ground disturbing activity work. Next slide, please. For traffic, we conducted a detailed traffic study and subsequent report, which concluded that most employee trips and bus pull-ins and pull-outs occur in off-peak periods. Therefore, less than significant impact will occur and no mitigation is required. We're aware of TAM's adjacent project of the US 101 and I-580 improvement, and we have been coordinating with them and will continue to coordinate with them between these two projects. Next slide, please. For geology and soils, this requires one mitigation measure related to paleontological discovery. This is similar to cultural resources in the fact that it's for unanticipated discovery. If that were to occur, we would contact a qualified paleontologist for next steps. We also conducted a detailed geotechnical investigation and report, and that informed the need for surcharging of our site. You can see on the right-hand side of the slide an aerial of the existing project, and to the southeast end, if you can kind of see the T-shaped formation of soil with shadows around it, that is existing surcharge that was imported to the site by the previous project owner, which was a hotel developer, and they put that surcharge soil in the location shown for their anticipated building location for a hotel at the time. We will also need to surcharge our site for our proposed operations and maintenance facility, which is anticipated to be slightly to the northwest of the existing surcharge soil location. And we will need to move that surcharge soil to that location to prepare for our anticipated building. And what that will do is provide kind of preloading for that existing soil that's on site and allow it to settle and consolidate over a calculated period of time to provide the conditions that are acceptable to build the building. We anticipate that to be at least a year, and we will monitor it during that time. Next slide, please. Update on community engagement and outreach. You just heard about canal coordination and outreach, and this is very much the focus of this project as well. So you'll see here, and I'll go over the phases that are required as it specifically relates to our project. We developed a community engagement plan in extensive coordination with the city of San Rafael over the course of several meetings and review sessions, and partnered with community-based organizations throughout that effort over the past year. We sponsored or participated in 14 community events and also received feedback on the initial design in a survey in order to complete that phase. That prepares us to implement phase two during design of the project. Once a consultant is onboarded, we will enter into that second phase and continue to participate in the community capacity building exercise that's upcoming that Joanna reported on, and continue to engage with stakeholders and collect feedback, which informs the design at key milestones for feasible elements that will be implemented in the project design. And we'll also report back to community on that progress. In parallel, we'll continue to work on workforce development as an overarching aspect of community engagement by surveying existing contractors and partnering with CBOs to identify feasible programs and update on that progress. Next slide, please. So we have a couple of upcoming project procurements listed here. This is our plan for implementation as of now. We know this is contingent as well on receiving environmental clearance for the project first at both the state and federal level. For this board, CEQA is the actionable item from an environmental compliance standard. So if all that goes as expected, it will be on this timeline. First is an information for bid for construction. This is related to the surcharge grading, as I mentioned earlier, that's needed to prepare the site for the future proposed project. We're planning on releasing that this month in order to prepare for your board to consider award in February of next year. Secondly, we have a request for qualifications for the overall design for the project that would also be released this month to prepare for your board to consider contract award in March of next year. Next slide, please. So as that relates to the overall timeline, as you can see on the left-hand side of this slide, we're working through the environmental phase of this project, and we are in line with finishing that to start design in 2026 and finish that sometime in 2027 and begin construction of the overall proposed project and complete by the required close and begin operations in mid-2030. So some upcoming milestones that are good to be aware of. Today would be opportunity for CEQA public comment on the environmental report, the 30-day public review period ending tomorrow. We'd be releasing the two procurements this month. And then moving into January, your board would consider adoption of the findings for the CEQA environmental report at the January board meeting and approve the project. And then we anticipate NEPA approval in January as well. Then we would move to award those two contracts in February and March of next year, and then begin work on both of those projects in the spring of 2026. Thank you. Next slide, please. That concludes my presentation. Again, this is for information and discussion only. No action is required. Happy to take any questions.
Great. Thank you, Paul. Really appreciate the update. I'll look to my fellow directors. Start with Director Yoren Scolati.
Yes, thank you so much for the report. I was just thinking around Greaton Rancheria and having enough time to review and if there are findings that this can delay the project so much. So I was just thinking about what is the, I guess, the flexibility in the schedule when you're working with contractors to make sure if we have like a big delay that is not going to, you know, increase our project.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yes, we've been coordinating with them for the past several months as far as the requirements and talking extensively. And we also will be putting together a mitigation plan for the surcharge work. We know that we need to implement that as far as their needs on the surcharge only. So we're aware of where we need to implement and how. And we also have in the project design clearly for the contractor to implement this mitigation measure, and we'll meet with the tribe ahead of time in order to coordinate schedules, that that treatment plan and that implementation hand in hand with them.
That's great. Yeah, they are very busy. So sometimes the scheduling, probably you already right. know, is challenging. So, okay, great. Thank you.
Any others? Vice President Sackett.
Nancy, has design build been considered for this project?
Yes, we've considered different alternative construction approaches. And in fact, we have met with many different contractors as well as some of the other entities who've built facilities recently, like ours, or the one that we're proposing. So we have looked at it. We've weighed pros and cons. And in fact, Paul's done quite a bit of work in that area. Do you want to speak more about that?
Yeah, design build being what's considered an alternative contract delivery method, among others, we've been looking at. So there's a few different options. We're also considering, as we're being onboarded a designer, as one of the factors, experience in that area. We're looking at them.
It's still in the mix. Yeah. Okay.
Any others? Not seeing any. Any public comment? Don't see any here.
I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
All right. This also was just a discussion item, so nothing else to add here. Paul, thank you so much. We'll move on to item number 9, which is to approve Marin Transit's mascot service changes and Title VI equity analysis report.
Great. And Robert Betts, our Director of Operations and Service Development, will do another presentation on mascots here.
And hopefully a final one. Good morning, President Luke and members of the board. Robert Betts, Director of Operations and Service Development. As mentioned, item number 9 is a request for approval of our mascot service change recommendation and the associated Title VI equity analysis report. Before I jump into the presentation, I do want to highlight that the final proposal in front of your board for approval this morning does differ from the original proposal that we took out to the public this summer, as well as the draft proposal that we brought to your board in October for public comment. I'll go into detail in the presentation in terms of what exactly has changed and why we decided to make those changes. But as a quick summary, the proposal is a scaled back proposal compared to the previous proposal, and it's largely in response to a lot of the public outreach and comment that we received when we went out and solicited that comment as part of our outreach process. A lot of the efforts Joanna went over within the canal and also within our communities in Southern Marin that really led us to the final proposal in front of your board this morning. Next slide. So as a quick reminder, if you haven't been following along, mascots is an effort that involves 9 different agencies in the North Bay and Marin and Sonoma County, including all the transit operators, as well as our funding partners, to really look at how we can better coordinate and deliver transit services in the Highway 101 corridor. The ultimate goal here is to improve ridership, to improve the rider experience, and to really make transit a more seamless experience in the North Bay. A big part of this was to develop a plan, something we could implement and not just another study. And that brings us to really where we are today and asking for your approval and recommendation. Next slide. So in terms of the development of this plan, this effort started about a year and a half ago with a lot of in-depth planning work. A consultant was brought on board to develop an existing conditions analysis, really looking at ridership patterns in that Highway 101 corridor, looking across all the transit operators. This last summer, we went out to the public with some kind of concepts and proposals around those recommendations. We had an initial round of public outreach. And then each operator came back and developed their own service change proposal, a formal proposal that we brought to your board in October, and we did additional outreach on in October and November. This last month, we brought to you a summary of those comments. And really over the last month or so, the team has been looking at those comments. We went back and looked at some additional data to bring us to our final proposal here today. Next slide. So the way I'm going to present our final proposal is going back to the original proposal. So I'm first going to show the slides that we presented to your board in October, and then I'm going to show you what's changed. So this slide here shows the 4 routes that we had proposed significant alignment changes to as part of our October proposal. The big changes focused primarily in Southern Marin. Originally, we had proposed to have Route 17 terminate in Marin City instead of continuing down to the Sausalito Ferry Terminal. We had a proposal to no longer serve Strawberry Village with Route 22 in the southbound direction. We had a proposal to actually eliminate Route 36 and replace it with a new Route 26. And then our proposal for Route 71 was to extend that route in the north all the way up to San Marin Smart and in the south down to Sausalito Ferry Terminal. Next slide. So what's in front of you today are the changes that we've made. We are no longer pursuing the changes to Route 17 or Route 36. We're going to leave those in place. And we're also going to keep the southern terminus of Route 71 in Marin City. So really the alignment changes that we are proposing as part of our final recommendation is the Route 22 would no longer serve Strawberry in the southbound direction, and Route 71 would continue or would be extended up to the San Marin Smart Station in the north. Next slide. So again, the original proposals in terms of where we want to make strategic connections to the regional services. Again, this slide shows the original proposal from October. Next slide, Kate. And what you can see is we're largely preserving a lot of the regional connections that we had originally proposed. We're just doing that with a different set of routes. So we will continue to make a strategic connection to Route 130 in both Marin City and Strawberry. But the new proposal has that timing in Marin City to Route 71, and the connection to Strawberry will continue with Route 36 and Route 219. Sausalito Ferry would continue to have service on Route 17 instead of Route 71 as originally proposed. And then in the north, again, we will continue to extend Route 71 up and make connections to the smart service at San Marin. Next slide. So there were a number of factors that we took into consideration as we developed this final recommendation. As I mentioned earlier, a lot was through the education and outreach process that we conducted. And a lot of concerns primarily around Route 17 and the elimination of that one-seat ride between Mill Valley and Sausalito. We heard that both from riders when we rode the service and talked to riders on board. We also heard that from our city reps from Mill Valley and Sausalito, some concerns about eliminating that connection. The other part was around our proposal to eliminate Route 36 and replace it with Route 26. While we didn't hear a lot of objection for that recommendation, we also didn't hear a lot of support. And so the combination of the lack of support for that change, as well as the concerns about the Route 17, led us to revisit both of those proposals. And the recommendation in front of your board today is to leave those services largely as they operate today. A number of other considerations went into this final proposal. There were some financial considerations. We went into this plan with the goal of having it be cost neutral and in some cases looking for opportunities to reduce our future operating costs. As we talked with your board about a couple months ago, we do have some potential financial challenges in the near term that we need to be aware of, and it really wouldn't be prudent right now for us to be adding service when we know there may be some challenges looming in the future. Operationally, we wanted to keep our contractors whole. We have two primary contractors that operate the services. We did not want to go back and do a major contract amendment with either contractor, so we really tried to balance the hours and the drivers with the future proposal, similar to the way we have them today. We also have vehicle restrictions in terms of which contractors operate which vehicles, the size of those vehicles, and the routes they could operate. So all of that was taken into consideration with this final proposal. And then finally, we really have a unique opportunity in the coming months to learn a lot more about our rider needs. As Joanna mentioned, we have this upcoming community capacity building project with the canal to really get a lot more input from our riders within the canal to better understand their needs. And then we're doing a comprehensive onboard survey in partnership with the MTC. This will be the first time that we get really detailed demographic information, OD information on our riders since pre-COVID. So that's another great opportunity for us to learn a little bit more before we advance some of the other potential changes that we had put in our original proposal. Next slide. So the two proposed route changes, I did keep the maps in here just for reference. So going back to the Route 22 proposal, as you can see here in the map, the it's a little hard to see, I guess, in the map, but the red line is indicating the area of the alignment that would no longer operate. And so this is Route 22, and the proposal, again, is in the southbound direction. Route 22 would stay on the freeway. It would not come off and serve Strawberry Village, and make a better connection down in Marin City to the new Golden Gate 130 regional service. Next slide. And then in the north, and I'm just showing the northern part of Route 71 here, we will continue to advance the recommendation to have Route 71 not only extend all the way to the north to the San Marin Smart Station and make a connection to the SMART train, but we're also planning to serve Redwood Boulevard and the two new bus stops that we're currently building. And this would provide a new connection to the Marin Community Clinics up in Novato. And this is a need that we've been hearing about from riders for a number of years that we're hoping to advance as part of this proposal. Next slide. There's a number of other changes that are included in this proposal, and they're similar to the changes that were included in the original proposal. The single largest is the cancellation of Route 29. This is a peak hour weekday only service. As part of that cancellation, we are planning to implement a new supplemental school route to preserve service for Hall Middle School and Redwood High School. That's our primary market for this service. There's a number of other changes to improve legibility and to achieve some cost savings. With Route 35 and the canal trips and part of our Route 36 service design, we're looking to pull out what we call the short runs or the runs that only serve the canal in that canal loop pattern into a proposed new route to improve the legibility for riders. We're also looking to slightly reduce the span of service on Route 71, and there's a number of trip level cancellations that we're proposing, again, based on low ridership. Next slide. Going back to our original timeline, we are still, assuming we get approval on our service changes today, we're on schedule to make our adopted changes here in December. If approved by your board today, we are looking to implement these changes in April of 2026. Next slide. I do, before I open it up for questions, I do also want to note, and this came in actually through public comment, there was one typo in the board letter, and it was on page 4, table 2. Route 71, we're proposing to reduce the span of service so it would end 30 minutes earlier at night on weekends. And the board report stated that the last trip would be 12:15 p.m. That should actually be 12:15 a.m. So I just wanted to note that as part of the response to public comment and to clarify for your board. With that, I'd be happy to open it up for any questions.
Thank you, Robert. This is an action item. We'll start with Director Yuren Scolati.
Yes, thank you. I'm just curious to see. So I think the implementation will be in April of next year. I'm just curious to see with the new community engagement, the educational part that you're going to have, if there will be room for them to give you any feedback around this, or are we close on feedback from the community? So that's my first one. And then on the second one, I know that Route 17 didn't have, if I recall, a lot of riders. Is it possible to evaluate after a year the routes that we have and make modifications? Thank you.
Yeah, great questions. And I'll take them together because I think they're related. In terms of getting public comment on this service change proposal, with your approval today, we'll likely need to finalize that and move forward. We will have an opportunity in both August of next year and then the following January to make another service change. And I think part of our hope is through that engagement effort, also through monitoring how riders respond to not only the local changes, but the regional changes, we'll be in a better position to come back with formal recommendations for what we need to tweak and what we need to adjust in response to those new rider patterns. But yes, we are very much looking forward to that effort in the spring to help educate future service changes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Any others? All right.
I'm happy to move approval of the service changes. Oh, sorry. Oh, go ahead.
Let's see if there's any public comment, and we'll bring it back for board comments. I don't see any here.
I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. Dave Troop, please unmute.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, my comment is that the original plan was well publicized with good public open houses, which is a great thing. And it appears the process did listen to public input, which is also good. However, these latest revisions have been made and the public has not been able to respond, which I question. An example that comes to mind for me is I often take a bus from the San Francisco Transit Center, I'm sorry, the Sanville Transit Center to Sausalito. And I've been using the going to gate 130. Now the 130 is being changed. It's going to now originate in Marin City, so that's no longer possible. Until recently, I thought an alternative was the number 71, since that was being extended down to Sausalito, so it would kind of serve that purpose. Now that's being taken away, and so me as a rider, I'm now left with no direct route from San Rafael to Sausalito, and I think that's a negative. So my question is, after the meeting today, will there still be the chance for public input on the latest set of revisions to the plan?
Great. Thank you. We'll go to staff after the end of public comment. Any other public comment?
There are no additional raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to turn it back to Robert.
Sure. So I guess the short answer is there would not be additional opportunity for public comment. If your board approves today, we would need to move forward with the service change recommendations. As mentioned earlier, we do have the opportunity in August of next year and then January to come back and make any further refinements. Just a couple clarifications. There would continue to be a direct route from San Rafael to Sausalito on Route 17. I recognize that route goes through Mill Valley, so in terms of the travel time compared to the existing 130, it would be longer. In response to the updated proposal, we're also planning to time Route 71 to Route 130 in Marin City, so it is a timed connection. So it would be a more direct connection, but it would require a transfer.
Thank you. So with that, I'll bring it back for comments and then action. Director Rodoni.
Yeah, thank you, Chair Lucan. I did want to comment on something that you haven't mentioned, Robert. It's the regional changes. Mm-hmm. And I only want to comment in our board meeting because I think as part of this MASCOT plan, we've committed to work together with all our transit partners to find solutions to our transit issues. So I just wanted to mention that that regional issue is that once the last smart train stops running, there will be people who will lack public transit to get anywhere from the north, south, or south, north, and it, depending on your location. But mostly it's north of Novato and then south of Santa Rosa. Coming south from Santa Rosa at a certain time, the smart train stops. There are now bus routes, I believe, at least two. It would bring people south all the way to San Francisco. Going north out of, once we get to Novato, there's also at least two routes going north now that are regional routes by Golden Gate Transit. We've had a lot of discussion about this at the board meeting, and it was a big issue because primarily is we don't know who we're leaving behind, and we don't know what those people's needs are, and we don't really have a solution. The short-term solution is that the partners have agreed Sonoma Transit would run a sweeper route first from Novato North. And then when they heard about a substantial number of riders who might be missing out coming south from Novato or south from Santa Rosa, they said, oh, that bus can just run the other direction too. But that's only once an evening. And so, and it's only for 3 months. And that's not a real solution in my mind. So again, I just want to repeat, I'm concerned about who we're leaving behind, who we're impacting, and really understanding those people's needs, those transit riders' needs, so that we can work together with our partners at MASCOT to figure out what are the solutions, because I think we do need to address that issue. We can't just leave people stranded. We've been providing that service as Golden Gate's been providing it, but as a region now, we're trying to step up as mascot, I think we need to find longer-term solutions for that. And I don't know what it is, because I don't think we have good data yet about who we're impacting and what are they doing. Are they nurses going from Santa Rosa back home to San Francisco, for example? We don't know that. And so I think it's important we determine that. And it's not a small number of people. Ever numbers up to maybe 50 people being impacted, if you count them all both ways, and currently two trips each way that won't be, will be impacted by SMART train ending at a certain time. So I just wanted to bring that up and put it on the public record, because I really want Marin Transit to commit to be part of this solution going forward to help resolve what this issue may be once we really identify it. And I just want to state it, I don't think a 3-month pilot is a reasonable solution to leaving people stranded. And I just wanted to make sure the board was aware of that. And again, not particularly Marin Transit's issue, but it is our issue once we've joined up with everyone else in mascots that this has been created by that action. And it may be an opportunity, it may not be, but we need to understand what it is and how we possibly could help. So thank you for hearing me.
Thank you, Director Rodoni. Look, are there any other comments? All right. Vice President Sackett, you want to?
I will move that we accept the report. Accept the changes. Yeah, sorry.
Approve the service changes. Okay.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion by Vice President Sackett, a second by Director Rodoni. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? That passes unanimously. Thank you, Robert, and certainly more to report as this continues to make its way through in the implementation phase. Got two more items on our agenda today. Next up is item number 10, Marin Transit Fiscal Year 24-25 System Performance Report.
Yes, and we have Asher Butnick here, who's going to do a presentation on our annual system performance report.
All right. Good morning, President Lucan and members of the board. Item number 10 in your packet this morning is the system performance report for fiscal year 2024-2025. Next slide, please. This graph shows total system-wide ridership over the past 5 years and also shows a pre-COVID year for reference. Total ridership was 10% higher than last year and 3% higher than pre-COVID. And I'll also note that this is the first time in my tenure at Marin Transit that I've been able to say that total ridership was higher than pre-COVID without having to caveat it and say that I'm only talking about fixed route or something else. So that's, you know, exciting for us. Next slide. This graph shows total system-wide ridership by month for the past 3 years in the clustered bars, and then also shows pre-COVID ridership by month in the black line on the top. You can see that there's been consistent year-over-year growth in every month of the last fiscal year, and that several months the dark green bar on the right goes higher than the black pre-COVID line. Next slide, please. This graph shows productivity as measured by passengers per revenue hour for the 5 service typologies. It also shows the individual routes in the gray lines, but note that the targets shown in the red lines with the black arrows only apply to the typologies as a whole, not to the individual routes. All 4 fixed route typologies met their performance targets this year. The one typology that did not meet its performance target was the demand response typology, and staff are actively working with our demand response contractor to improve efficiency and system performance on that demand response service, which is mostly ADA paratransit. Next slide. Much like the prior slide, this graph shows cost effectiveness measured in subsidy per passenger for the 5 service typologies. Note that demand response on the right uses a different y-axis, and so those numbers are significantly higher than the other ones, but you wouldn't be able to see the other ones if it was all on the same scale. What's important to note about this graph is that the target is to be below the red line, not above it. We want, you know, a lower subsidy per passenger, and as you can see, all 5 typologies met their cost-effectiveness target this year. Next slide. These next two graphs compare our fixed route bus ridership with our peer agencies in the Bay Area, specifically looking at bus service, not our total system-wide. This first graph is the COVID recovery. As you can see, we are above 100%, and our peers across the Bay Area are scattered, I would say. The next slide will show year over year percent increase in ridership. And you can see that we performed well relative to our peers in this graph. Next slide. So going into FY 2026, there are a few significant changes on the horizon. As you just heard about, our mascot service change will go into effect this coming April. Although the changes won't be as large as initially proposed, they are still significant, and we will be monitoring how those changes affect our overall system performance. On the Marin Access side, the new mobility wallet suite of programs went into effect at the start of this fiscal year. It's still too early to give you a comprehensive answer as to how that program is doing, but we will be taking it to your board later this year. And early signs, I would say, indicate that it's doing well. And finally, we have our short-range transit plan, which will be completed this year. That will not have any changes that are going into effect this year, but as you heard about last month, we are looking at service very closely, and there may be changes on the more long-term horizon that come out of that effort. Next slide. And I'm happy to take any questions you may have about this. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any questions? Not seeing any. Any public comment?
I see no one in the room. I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
All right. This also is just a discussion item. If there's nothing to report or comment on, thank you for the report.
Great. Thank you.
All right. We'll move on to the last item, which is the 24-25 year-end financial report.
And you heard about our positive results on our audit, and Lauren's going to do a deeper dive on what happened to all of our financial transactions during the year.
Good morning, President Lucan and Board of Directors. Lauren Gradia, Director of Finance and Capital Programs. So this is the companion report to Osher's report on ridership. This is the financial report for last fiscal year. It presents the same financial information as the audit, but in kind of our budget format with a little bit of additional analysis. Next slide. So this table is also in the report, but it is the overall summary that compares our FY 24-25 actuals in our operations and capital budget to both the budget and the prior year. Two things to note on this are that we did end the fiscal year with a fund balance of $44.39 million. And we added $2.95 million to that balance. Next slide. So this chart shows our expenses actually by type, not program area. So there is an error on the slide. So this compares to the last 5 years. The biggest takeaway clearly is that top color, which is our capital expenditures, was significantly higher last fiscal year. And that is due to, as Karina mentioned, the purchase of the property at 1075 East Francisco, and then also the purchase of some hybrid vehicles. Next slide. So this chart shows compares our operation of services to what we budgeted for. So basically, it's just a status of we budgeted for a specific service level. Did we provide that? And overall, the answer to that question is yes. We expended 95% of our operations budget, and we delivered 98% of our fixed route and 86% of the demand response services that we had budgeted for. Next slide. Looking at operations revenue, this is the same chart that compares last fiscal year's operations revenues to the prior years. The biggest change in this graph is really the orange section, which is our property taxes. And we spent a significant amount of our annual property tax revenue last year on capital. So it shifted it from the operations revenue to capital. And so that's why the bar is reduces in this fiscal year. Next slide. So this is the donut chart that we show with the budget every year and also with the this report. Again, the biggest takeaway on this chart is that the contract operations or purchase transportation is the majority of our budget. And if you add that together for demand response and fixed route, and then for also the regional paratransit, that's 80% of our operations expenses. Adding fuel and contract service, or sorry, and other customer service and other operations, that gets close to about 90% of our operation expenses. Next slide. Breaking it down by the budget areas, which somewhat reflect our Measure A categories, local fixed route transit is about 73% of our operation expenses. Rural service is 6%. Marin access, or the demand response services, are about 17% of our operation expenses. And lastly, yellow bus services are 4%. Next slide. Shifting over to the capital expenditures, as this is the donut chart of our capital expenditures by type. And again, facility expenditures last fiscal year were by far the largest, and they were 67% of our expenditures, and that was due to the hybrids and the property purchase. That's due to the property purchase. The green section is for vehicle expenditures, and that was 26%. Next slide. So lastly, I did include in this presentation the slide that we looked at the board workshop, showing that fiscal decline, fiscal cliff, and just the analysis that we're working on in the SRTP process to ensure the stability of the agency, and that we are in that strong short-term position with the fully funded reserves, but we are projecting a number of different challenges over that 10-year period with the increase of operations expenses. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions, and thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. We'll check if there are any. If not, this might be a quick item as well. Appreciate the report. Any public comment?
I see no one in the room.
And none online.
I'll give everyone a moment to raise their hands on Zoom. There are no raised hands on Zoom. Thank you.
And this is just a discussion item, Director Colbert.
Is this our last item of the day?
This is our last item of the day.
I will have a final comment before we adjourn.
Okay.
I have to say another discussion item might be Mr. Betts's socks. Well played today, Mr. Betts.
All right. With that, I believe that concludes our meeting, our last meeting for the year. I want to thank the entire Marin Transit team, the staff that is all here. Thank you so much for a wonderful 2025, and we will see you in the new year. With that, our meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.